pieces tonight, if you would. Psalm 110, the 110th Psalm, and also Hebrews chapter 4. Psalm 110 and Hebrews chapter 4. That's where we're going to find our text tonight. I want to welcome everyone. Thank you for coming to worship with us tonight. We have attempted to exalt the name of Jesus tonight. It's in Christ alone that we have hope. Amen. And He is the third part of the Trinity. He is part of our thrice holy God. Amen. And hard for us to comprehend. But we want to learn about Him tonight. A couple of weeks ago, I attempted to introduce you to one of the most interesting men in Scripture. If you missed that message, I tried to introduce you to Melchizedek from Genesis chapter 14. If you missed that, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that and be reminded of that. But we're walking on Wednesday nights through the Old Testament, trying to see the Scriptures concerning Christ. And as we've done that, we came to Melchizedek, and the Old Testament doesn't have a ton to say about him. We saw what it says in Genesis 14. We're going to see here in Psalm 110. But then we're going to look to the New Testament in the book of Hebrews for a few weeks to learn a little bit more, because the Bible ends up having a lot to say about this king priest, Melchizedek. His name means King of Righteousness. He is also King of Salem, which is King of Peace. He is also a priest of the Most High God, and he is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we're going to start walking through a portion of Hebrews that tells us a lot about this man and how we can learn more about Jesus through him. Now, Hebrews, the entire letter, the entire book, is about the supremacy of Christ. Jesus is better. He's better than Moses, he's better than the angels, he's better than Joshua, and he's better than the Levitical priesthood, he's better than Aaron. And so we're going to learn about that starting tonight. He is better, he is greater than all. And if you study out Hebrews, you'll find that from around Hebrews 4, verse 14, Hebrews 4:14 through Hebrews 8 and verse 5, the writer of Hebrews takes great lengths to show us that Christ is greater than the Levitical priesthood of the Old Testament. What do I mean by Levitical priesthood? I mean that when God gave Moses the law, he established the priesthood that would only be by the Levites, those who are of the tribe of Levi, in particular, the sons of Aaron, his descendants, would be the priest in the tabernacle in the wilderness, and later the Levites would be the priest in the temple in Jerusalem. Everybody still with me? So when we say Levitical priesthood, what we mean is the priesthood that was established by the Levitical law of the Old Testament. We're going to learn that there were priests outside of that, and we have in particular in focus Melchizedek, who was, in fact, a priest of the Most High God before the law of Moses, outside of the law of Moses, having nothing to do with the law of Moses and the lineage of Levi or the lineage of Aaron. He was outside of that, and that's the picture that we get of the priesthood of Christ. Everybody still with me? Say amen. Amen. If you're not with me, say, oh me. Yeah, I know, but it's important that we get the foundation and understand these things. So tonight we're just going to get started in this, the end of chapter 4, into chapter 5. But before we do anything else, let's pray together before we approach the Scriptures tonight. Our Father in heaven, thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the blessings that you have provided for each of us throughout this day. Lord, we live and move and have our being in you. God, you, through Christ, hold all things together by the power of your word. You keep everything in motion. By you, everything consists. And we just thank you to know tonight that the one who made the stars, the one who keeps the planets in their orbits, the one who makes the very parts of the atoms, of the molecules that make up this entire universe, the one who holds it all together, is the one who holds us in his hand. And Father, we thank you so much for your great love. We pray that we can learn truths from your scriptures tonight, that your Holy Spirit would teach us and guide us into all truth. And Father, I pray if anyone hearing this message has never been born again, that even tonight they would turn away from their unbelief and they would turn to you in faith, that tonight they would trust with all their heart in Jesus Christ who died for them and rose again. And Lord, I pray for all believers that we would all take that first step of obedience and baptism and that we would walk with you faithfully day by day as real disciples abiding in your word. Please help us by your Spirit to know you and to make you known. Please help me as I preach the word tonight, for I am nothing without you. And I just pray you'll bless and help us to see Jesus in the scriptures tonight. We pray in his precious name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 1. This is a psalm of David. Psalm 119, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauty of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Psalm 119, verses 1 through 7. I hear pages turning. Did I say it again? Somebody tell me what psalm we're in. Thank you, Daly. Turn to whatever psalm you want to. I'm going to read 110. It's one of those days. Maybe. Psalm 110, verses 1 through 7. I never heard so many Bible pages turn in this church in my whole life than just now. Like, what is happening? Okay, we're going to try again. Psalm 110. Good job, Dave. Thanks. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. Verse 4 in Psalm 110 says, the Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, a couple of things before we jump into Hebrews, I want you to see. In verse 1, this is something else that's quoted in Hebrews earlier in the book, but he says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. In other words, this psalm is rejoicing and praising God that Messiah is king. Amen. Messiah is king. He will make all of his enemies his footstool. And that's exactly what the New Testament tells us, that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, rose again, and after 40 days of appearing on this earth, he ascended up into heaven, where he is right now sitting at the right hand of the Father, and he is ruling over all things, waiting until all of his enemies are made his footstool. What's happening? How is that happening? Well, he's working. Amen. And how is he working in the world today? He's working through his people, through his churches, by the power of his Spirit. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? And he's working to bring the world into submission through the power of the gospel. Amen. That's how he does it, isn't it? Amen. Where is the kingdom? Well, it's everywhere that he has rule and reign. In particular, the kingdom is in you who believe. And the kingdom is furthered as we take the gospel and more people repent and believe the gospel and become his. Amen. Everybody with me right now? So he's doing that, bringing the whole world into subjection to him. Now, he does that through the gospel, and he will ultimately do that when he comes again. Amen. He comes again. He establishes his kingdom. Amen. So he's king. But then he says in verse 3, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power and the beauty of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So Psalm 110 says Messiah is king. And then Psalm 110 says he's king. And then it says he is priest. He's king. And he is priest. And that's really important for us to get this picture of both, because that's really, really crucial to the picture that Melchizedek gives us, because, again, his name is King of Righteousness. He's first King of Righteousness, then King of Peace, because remember, King of Salem. Salem is peace, right? You might have heard it pronounced Shalom. But it's Shalom, Salem, that city that would later become Jerusalem, and that is the picture. Jesus is king and priest. That's why Melchizedek's the picture of Jesus. And he has sworn he will not repent. Thou art forever after the order of Melchizedek. So now, jump ahead to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews 4, 14. I'm pretty sure I got this one right, kids. If that doesn't work, just go to Psalm 119. I don't know. Hey, Bill Don, is it too early for me to blame it on my age? Nah, okay. God bless you. Okay. I've got great news. We have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. Most people during the time of the Old and New Testaments, most people in the world then, and a lot of people in the world today, feel the need today to have a priest. Amen. Right? A priest would be someone who represents a person to God. Amen. And there are people, especially back then, who felt like they could not have access to God unless they had a priest to take them to God. And so they had a priest who was a representative. A priest was their mediator, somebody to be a go-between between mankind and God. And so people of the Jewish religion and most of the world religions, they had priests, someone who would do things to atone for their sin, do things to bring their petitions to God on their behalf. They would have that, someone to be a go-between for them, someone to represent them to God. And a lot of people in the world today still have that, right? Amen. They can't go to God. They have to go to God through a priest. Is that true? Do they have to go through a priest to get to God? But they believe they do. They feel like they can't have access to God. Now, here's the truth. Most of you have never lived with that burden. Most of you have never felt like, I can't get to God unless I go through someone. Most of you have never known that burden or that feeling of restriction. You've never felt the fear of not being able to get to God. Because most of you were brought up from a very young age to pray to God in the name of Jesus. You were taught to before you go to bed, honey, be sure to say your prayers. And you could pray and you could talk to God. And you were taught that from a young age. But that's really rare. And the reason you were brought up that way, most of you, is because you were brought up under the teachings of the Word of God. You were brought up with an understanding in your household that you have access to God because you know Jesus. Amen. And so I think we don't get this, and so it doesn't really hit home with us like it should. Listen, even the people of Israel, they didn't go to the mountain when God came down. They were afraid to go to the mountain. They said, Moses, you go to the mountain. We're going to stay back here. Right? Amen. And nobody in Israel dared go into the Holy of Holies. Even the high priest couldn't go in there except for one day out of the year, and he had to make a sacrifice for his own sins and then for the sins of all the people before he could go into the Holy of Holies. Amen. Everybody with me right now? Okay. What happened to the high priest if he went into the Holy of Holies in a wrong manner. That's right. That's it. Dead. Dead. Around the hem of his garment, they had little bells sewn in. They could hear him moving around in there. I don't know if it's true or not. The story is, the kind of the folklore around it is, that they would actually tie a rope around the high priest's ankle. Do you know why? Yeah, so they could drag his lifeless body out if he went in there with the wrong heart. Like, that's a big deal. What? Why? Because what was in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. It represented the throne of God. It actually is also referred to as the footstool of God. So that was a representation of coming into the presence of God. And nobody could do that except for one man. And he could only do it on one day out of the year. And he had to do it in a very prescribed manner with a lot of bloodshed so he wouldn't die. Okay? Now, with all that in mind, and thinking about being Jewish people who have no access to God except through the high priest, and thinking about just a world full of people who look at the world that way, look at coming to God, look at verse 14 now, seeing then that we have a great high priest. We have a great high priest. We have someone to represent us to God. We have someone to make atonement for our sin before God. We have someone to be a mediator between us and God. His name is Jesus Christ. We have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We have a high priest. We have a high priest. Who is he? Who is he? He is Jesus, the Son of God. This isn't a title that you see all the time together. We see it a lot of times. Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Son of Man. He's Jesus the Christ. He's Christ Jesus. But when we see it put together, there's a reason that the Holy Spirit had the writer of Hebrews do that. When you see Jesus, you see his humanity. When you see the Son of God, you see his deity. And you see that it's both. The God-man is our high priest. The God-man uniquely and only exclusively qualified to be our high priest. No one else could do it. No one else could do it. So he is Jesus, the Son of God. He is the man God. That's who he is. Who is our high priest? Where is our high priest? He is passed into the heavens. When the priest went to the tabernacle in the wilderness or the temple, and you guys understand that when they wandered in the wilderness, the tabernacle was like a big tent, basically, and they would move. It would go with them. They'd pack it up, haul it around, set it up wherever God said to, pack it up, move around, and they did that for 40 years. Later, they would build the temple, and the elements, the parts that were in the tabernacle, were in the temple. But it was a permanent structure. Everybody with me right now? And so when the priest went, he had to go through the outer court into the inside of the building, the holy place, where the table of showbread was and the altar of incense. And then only that once a year he would go beyond the holy place into the Holy of Holies, which was the inner sanctuary, which was the representation of the throne of God. So he had to go from the outer court to the holy place to the Holy of Holies. Everybody with me? Amen. Check this out. My Bible says Jesus went and is passed into the heavens, plural. Amen. That was an S if you didn't see it. Yes, heavens, multiple heavens. How is that? Jesus ascended from this earth through the atmosphere, the first heaven, through what we might call outer space, the second heaven, all the way into what I would refer to as the third heaven, the very presence of God, that spiritual realm where the throne of God is right now. He didn't go into a temple or tabernacle made with hands. When he shed his blood, he took his blood all the way up into the heaven of heavens. And he's passed into the heavens
our great high priest went beyond the outer court and the holy place to the Holy of Holies. He went to the actual Holy of Holies.
Amen.
To the actual throne of God. To the actual place where his Father sits on the throne. And he took his blood to that place to make an atonement for your sins forever.
Amen.
We have a great high priest. Who is he? He's Jesus, the Son of God. Where is he? He is in the heavens, the only one able to go there on our behalf. And what has he done? What has he done? Well, he was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in every way like we are. Have you ever told somebody you just wouldn't understand? You just wouldn't understand. You ever felt like that? Nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody understands what I'm feeling. Nobody understands. I don't know if anybody else on this planet can or will or does, but I know one who does.
Amen.
Your great high priest knows, and he cares.
Amen.
You ever sang that song? Does Jesus care?
Amen.
Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. Listen, we have a Savior who was touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why? Because he became one of us, and he lived like one of us, and he was tempted in every way like all of us, except he never sinned. We have a great high priest. Who is he? He's Jesus, the Son of God. Where is he? He's passed into the heavens. What has he done? He has been tempted in every way without sin, so he understands, and he is victorious. So what do? Verse 14 says, seeing then we have a great high priest is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You have a great high priest, so hold on to your profession. What does that mean? Your profession is your confession. It's what you say that you believe. And if you say you believe in him because he is your great high priest, because he is your representative in heaven, because his blood has covered your sins, hold on to your profession. Don't quit.
Amen.
Don't go back. Don't turn around. Don't put your hand to the plow and then turn around and go back. Don't be a backslider, but keep moving forward with Jesus. Hold on to your profession of faith. Hold on to your confession in Christ. Hold on to him because it's him, right? It's not you.
Amen.
It's not your abilities. It's not your faithfulness. It's his faithfulness.
Amen.
It's not your works. It's his work. It's what he has done for you. So hold fast your profession. And then notice verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
Let us come boldly. You guys remember, I already told you that the high priest could only go into the Holy of Holies on the Day of Atonement. If he messed up, he was dead. He was serious business. You guys remember in the Old Testament, Esther? You guys remember her? You remember how she needed to go before the king? You remember how she was a little bit nervous about that? Do you remember why? Yeah, because she could get dead.
Amen.
Right? Like, you don't just walk into the king's throne room. See, that was the way it was in those days. Like, you don't just walk into the throne room. And if you aren't invited and you walk in, you better hope he picks up his magic stick. It's not really magic. You better hope he picks it up and holds it towards you, because otherwise the guards standing by the door with their swords or their axes or whatever they happen to have will cut you in two.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I mean, that's the way it was. And we can understand that a little bit today. I would imagine that some of you in the room today, if you had the opportunity, would love to go visit President Joe and have some words with him. But I'm going to just suggest to you that whoever's in the White House, you're not going to just walk in there.
Amen.
I mean, I've seen the videos of the guys who tried, and it's pretty funny. Right? You guys have seen those? Like, it doesn't go well. Thankfully, the Secret Service agents tackle before they shoot most of the time. You can't do that. You can't just waltz in. The God of heaven lets you waltz in. He's given you an open invitation to come before his throne. You can't talk to the President of the United States. You couldn't talk to the King of England when he gets coronated here soon. But you can talk to the King of Glory. Come boldly before the throne of grace. Do you realize that anytime you go, it's boldly? We've heard the stories. You know, Jesus said, we cry, Abba, Father. We talk about that. Like, that's like saying daddy or dada. Like, you could crawl up in the lap. Like, that's the picture he gives. Like, you can just crawl up in the lap of God Almighty, and you have his attention. That's mind-boggling to me. Because really, we should be afraid to even come to the door. Really, we should be trembling to even think about addressing the King of Glory. Really, you would never, like, kick in the door and walk into the king's palace. You wouldn't do that, but we do it every day. Why? Because he's made us his children through faith in Christ, and he's opened the door. Amen. You imagine those kings in those days? The guards always ready, watching for some assassin, watching for someone unbidden. Like, somebody opens the door and comes into the throne room, and they're just watching. I mean, they're watching intently to see, is the king going to raise his scepter or not? Right? Like, they got swords at the ready. They're just waiting to see, do I kill him or do I let him go? And we're like the king's little sons and daughters who just come running in. Right? And we get to run right up and crawl up in his lap. That's what Christ has done. He is our great high priest. And he's given us access to the Father. And when you come to him, brothers and sisters, you can come. You come to the throne of grace. You guys remember grace? Unmerited favor? When God is good to you and gracious to you, though you don't deserve it? And you're like, sometimes I don't deserve it. How about never? We never deserve his favor, but he freely gives it. And what do we find when we come to this throne of grace? We get to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Some of you are in places in your life right now tonight, and you recognize that you have need. Others of you are just blind to the reality that you have need. We all need him every moment of every day. We need his mercy every moment of every day. We need his grace. We need his help. We have a great high priest. Our high priest is greater than the Levitical priesthood. Look at chapter 5 very quickly, verses 1 through 5. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. We have a great high priest, and he's greater than the Levitical priesthood.
Christ is from God. The Levitical priests were taken from men, ordained for men, but they were called of God. They weren't self-appointed, just like Jesus Christ was called of God. And he quotes there from Psalm 2 and verse 7, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." And so he's telling us from the scriptures that Jesus was appointed by God himself. Now Christ is from God. Christ offered himself. They were ordained or appointed by God, those priests, so that they could offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. But Jesus offered himself as a sacrifice for sin. Then we see Christ is love. He was tempted without sinning. They have compassion on the ignorant and the lost because they are also sinners. He said those priests, they could have compassion on others because they were sinners too. They could have compassion on others because they were sinners too. Verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2. "Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, the lost? For that he himself is also compassed with infirmity." So those priests, they could have compassion on others, but our high priest was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. They offered sacrifices for the people and for themselves, but Christ had no need to offer sacrifice for his own sin because he had no sin. Because he had no sin. Verse 6, "As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Tonight we're going to stop right there, and next week, Lord willing, we'll come back and dig in deeper to those verses, especially verses 6 through 10. We have a great high priest. No one can come to the Father but by Jesus. Amen. If you're going to come to God, you have to come through him. So tonight, if you've never come to Jesus, you can come, but you have to come through Jesus. You have to repent of your sin and unbelief, and you have to trust with all your heart in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So tonight I'm going to ask you to stand. Our musicians are on their way to the front. While they're coming, will you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for his priesthood. I pray that you'll give us greater understanding of that priesthood tonight and through the next few weeks as we study these great truths, and help us to just to know you more and to understand more who you are and what you've done, that we might glorify you, that we might worship you and serve you more faithfully, and that we might be equipped to go and to make you known. Thank you for our time in the word tonight. I pray your spirit would move, that if anyone here, anyone hearing this message has never been born again, that even now they would repent and believe the gospel. And anyone who is saved will take the first step of obedience by following you in baptism, and that those who are saved and baptized, you'll help us, God, to walk with you day by day, to be genuine disciples, continuing in your word and bearing much fruit for your glory. Lord, whatever the next step is for each of us, help us to take it now in faith and obedience to Christ, we pray. Amen.
Page 448.